Oh, yes, man. That is an oldie but goodie right there. And so it's going to be a lot of fun, Game Day 2016. If you have not been to one of those, you're going to want to make sure you're here. Maybe for some of us, the last few weeks or today even is your first church experience, and we're really excited you're here. My name's Kurt, by the way. It's great to meet you. And, you know, we hope that you'll be here for Game Day in 3 weeks. This is going to be the last weekend of this series, not making spirits bright. That was last month. This is a bright future. Because, you know, we believe the future is bright, and we're going to be talking about team on that day and how team makes it bright. Now, something else I'm really excited about that I'd like to share with you is beginning February 14th, we're going to begin something that is actually going to have a huge impact on our future here at Crosspoint. And so during this series we've been in, A Bright Future, we've been talking about how it's not about the headlines, it's actually about the history books. How, you know, we see that real sustainable change actually requires strong foundations, and, you know, headlines come and go, but we have to look at trajectories and where things are going. And here at Crosspoint, we are in it for the long haul, and we're going to be talking about how when God calls us to do things, to lay foundations, to build whatever it might be, we go to those places, and we have a history of doing that. And many of us that have been around here for 3 years or more, you might know that in about a month and a half, we have the launch campaign coming to a close. The launch campaign was a 3-year financial campaign that helped basically us move into this facility, at least, you know, kind of put us over the top to begin to build this facility. And so that's coming to a close. And so beginning February 14th, we're beginning a 6-week series on the next 3-year campaign called the Game Change Campaign. And it's going to be an exciting time, and we're going to be taking a look at what it means for us to get a sense of the vision of where God is continuing to take us, what He's been doing. And this is going to be one part infrastructure and one part spiritual journey. One of the cool parts about this is we're all going to go on a journey of how God wants to use us in this process over the next 3 years, and whether or not we're going to kind of see and invest and make some sacrificial decisions above and beyond what we normally give to the vision that God is calling us to. And the cool part of this is you and I are going to get a front row seat to not only be used by God, but to see God work in the lives of our community and our friends and our neighbors, people we are here for. And so make sure you're here over those 6 weeks, February 14th through March 20. It'll be a very, very formative time. You'll hear more on that here in the next number of weeks. In a nutshell, though, at Crosspoint, we're about stripping away anything that gets in the way of us seeing God, experiencing God, keeps us from understanding Jesus in a new way, stripping all forms and vestiges of religiosity off. I mean, we hold very few things sacred, and so we try to do whatever it takes to help us see that Jesus actually calls us and wants us to have a bright future. That's actually His plan for us, and that only comes when we are walking in the way that Jesus asks us to live, when we're living in the ways that He modeled us to live, and when we do that, we see we have got a bright, bright future ahead of us. So today, I want to talk this morning about one of the big, big things that Jesus talked about. In fact, He talked as much about this as anything, and that is forgiveness. Forgiveness. And what it means to be a great forgiver. Because, you know, if you can't figure out how to be a great forgiver, let me tell you what, your 2016 is not going to be bright. All right? This is going to be one of the major roadblocks to you going to new places. So, because one of the reasons is because if we can't learn how to be a great forgiver, I mean, every time you come into a relationship, you know, whether that's with somebody you're dating, you're married with, friendships, whatever it might be, man, you are like a wrecking ball. As PJ said, a lot of depth right there when you think about, you know, when we don't know what it means to be a good forgiver, we come in and we wreck walls, and it ultimately wrecks us. So before we do anything else, let me pray for us. God, thank You that we can come into this space today. Thank You for our time today, for every single person that's got out on the snowy roads and is here when we could be somewhere else. And so, God, man, I just realize it is a privilege and an honor to talk about some of the things that are beautiful mysteries, that are these keys to life that You gave us, that You talked about. And God, I'm really honored to talk about them today. So, God, just help me to not get in the way of Your message here today. God, I just pray that we would somehow see this truth that You brought, and how when we live in this way, man, it takes us truly to a brighter future. So God, I just pray these things according to Your identity, according to Your name. Amen. You know, Jesus was, without question, Jesus is one of the most influential, one of the most impactful figures that has ever walked the earth. In fact, it doesn't matter your spiritual orientation, you know, Hindu, Muslim, world religions. People say, yeah, Jesus was very, very influential. And a good part of it had to do with how he lived his life. And when you and I follow in his footsteps, when we begin to model some of the things that he called us to live by, it actually takes us to a brighter future. In fact, here's one of the things he said in Matthew 11. He said, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He says, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And whenever I read that, man, I just do this bit like, oh, man, yes, it is so good. In fact, you might want to do that with me here this morning, right? Let's do it on the count of three together, right? Just give us a good exhale. Ready? One, two, three. Yes. You know, Jesus says, hey, I came to give you rest. I didn't come to give you religion. I didn't come to give you rules. I didn't come to give you restrictions. I came to give you rest. And one of the ways this happens for us is Jesus says, when you take my yoke upon you, or when you take my ways upon you, he says, my ways are gentle and I'm lowly in heart. And so this is, in order to be a great forgiver, which is what we're going to look at today, you have to be gentle. We have to be lowly in heart. What does that mean? Well, it means I take on a lower attitude of myself than other people have of myself. See, when I'm high-hearted, that means I'm prideful. And so Jesus was so great. And one of the reasons he was so great, so amazing, so powerful is because he had this amazing ability to forgive. It's because he was lowly in heart. He was gentle. And he was an amazing forgiver. And so I want to get us to that place today because this is a huge barrier in whether or not we will have a brighter future ahead. And this is why Jesus talks about this. And so let me give you an overview of the three levels of forgiving today. All right, and I'm going to describe them real quick. And the first one, I'm not even going to put this on the screen, is the zero level. The zero level is somebody who just doesn't forgive, all right? And we all know people like that. So then level one is somebody who forgives when somebody else repents, all right? So somebody, you know, offends you, and they come back, and they repent, they turn, they change, they apologize, and you go, as a level one, you go, okay, you said the right words, you had the right posture, you seemed really sincere, okay, good, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. All right. So that's level one. Level two is when somebody comes and they kind of incompletely, or the word I would use is imperfectly ask for forgiveness. All right. So they're kind of like, oh, you know, you know me. And so you're like, oh, whatever. You know, you're like, okay, you're forgiven. And you tried. I mean, you didn't say exactly the right things, but you did try to fess up. And then level three forgiver is when you completely forgive someone and the other person doesn't participate at all. All right, so this is where somebody offends you and they never come to you. And this is where I want to spend most of our time this morning, all right? Because I want us to see that level three is there, and that the more you and I can operate in level three, the brighter future our brighter future is actually going to be for us. So I want you to imagine you go to work tomorrow, and or Tuesday if you're off tomorrow, and you take your lunch to work, and you go into the kitchen in your office, and you put your lunch in the refrigerator, and you know you go to your cube, and you do work for the morning about 11:30, 11:45. You're like, man, it's time to eat. I'm getting hungry. I'm gonna go get me some victuals in the kitchen. And you walk in there, and you open up the fridge, nothing there. You're like, oh, somebody took my lunch. And so what do? You go around, and you start walking around the cube farm, and you're looking, and you're like, who took my lunch? Hey, that's not my lunch. And you're talking to people. All right, and they're talking, and you see a little green between their teeth. You're like, hey, I think that's my lettuce in your teeth. Did you take my lunch? And so, you know, a level one forgiver, all right, is somebody who later in the day comes to you. They knock on your office door. They're like, hey, can I talk to you for a second? You're like, sure, come on in. And like, man, I did something really stupid today. All right, you're not going to believe this, but I did something so stupid. I didn't eat breakfast. I forgot my lunch. I got to about 10:30, 11. I was so hungry. I went in the refrigerator, and I just opened it. Man, there's these lunches. I just took one. I even know whose it was. I took it, and I think it was yours. And man, I am so sorry. In fact, I want to make it up to you. I'm going to buy you lunch every day the rest of this week. And you're going to be like, awesome, man. That's no problem. You know, thanks for coming to me. I mean, anybody with a heart, right, would be like, man, anytime, you want to buy me lunch anytime for the rest of the week, I will let you do that. You are forgiven, right? Because you're so disarmed. They were very endearing and sincere when they came to you. You're like, man, I can forgive you, no problem. All right, so that's level one. If you can do that, awesome. You're level one forgiver. Level two is when somebody comes to your door, knocks on the door, and like, dude, man, you're never going to believe this. Oh, man, I was so hungry, and I think I ate your lunch. I think I took it. I really, you know me. You know I'm always doing stupid stuff. Hope it didn't ruin your day. And you're like, what is up with that, right? And yet you're like, whatever. You're forgiven. You can go on. Level three forgiver, season off of lunch, maybe do one quick trip around the cube farm, just make sure somebody get it inadvertently, and they're like, what am I doing? This is ridiculous. Whoever took my lunch, man, I just need to forgive him. I need to move on. I need to get past this thing. And so, you know, and so you forgive, and that's level three right there. The other person didn't participate at all. And if you can get to this point in your life with whatever comes your way, you will have a brighter future, all right? Because all the energy it takes to be upset, all the energy it takes to be resentful, all the energy it takes to be mad is energy you can't spend being creative. It's energy you can't spend building into the people you love around you. It's energy you can't spend building into your relationship with God. And not only that, here's the bigger thing. When you harbor resentment and are unforgiving in your attitude, that tells God something. What you're actually saying to God is, God, I don't want you involved in my life. This is huge right here, all right? This is huge. See, if you don't want to be forgiving, if you've received forgiveness and you don't want to be forgiving to other people, then in essence you're saying to God, God, I don't want you involved in my life. I don't want you involved. See, Jesus talks about forgiveness a lot. And one of his more powerful, pointed stories, one of his more controversial stories is one that we're going to read today. It comes out of Matthew chapter 18. And if you have the CrossPoint app, you can hit the Bible button. It'll take you right to Matthew 18. You can follow along if you'd like, and it'll be on the screen. So here's what he says. It says, and Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? And Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience on me, I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave his debt. So Peter comes to Jesus, he's like, hey, I've got this guy who's kind of bothering me. How many times do I need to forgive the guy? I need to forgive him like seven times. He's like, no. Not seven times, 70 times seven times. That's how many. In other words, Jesus is saying, hey, whatever it is, you always need to be working toward getting to a place of forgiveness. And he's looking at Peter, and Peter's probably got this questioning look, and he's like, okay, I don't get that you're understanding this, Peter. And so he's like, let me tell you a story. So he begins to make this story up, and anytime Jesus makes up stories, he always relates the different figures in the story to real-life people. And so, for instance, he talks about the master in the story. Well, the master actually relates to the person of God. And then he talks about the servant in the story. Well, the servant relates to all of us, ordinary people like you and I. And so he's saying, hey, you know, average people come, and they come to the master, to God, and they're like, oh my goodness, God has done so much for me. He has done so much for me. There is no way I could ever repay him. And so we go to God, and we're like, God, man, I owe you so much. You have forgiven so much of my debt. Will you please forgive me? Will you please not have your justice come on me, or your wrath come on me? And God looks at us and he goes, okay, you're forgiven. And so in this story, you know what happens is this servant owes 10,000 talents, which we'll get to the amount of that here in just a moment. And he says, he's like, there's no way I can repay this. He goes to the master and he says, man, can you forgive me of this debt? And the master says, okay, you're forgiven. See, the starting point to any level three, the starting point to any level three forgiver is realizing and recognizing how abundant God has been with me. The starting point for any level three forgiver is realizing how much of an unbelievable amount of debt God has forgiven me of. What does that mean? Well, that means when God put the world into motion, he started creating things, he created a certain order to it, a certain economy. And it means that he put rules into the world. He put parameters, boundaries. And whenever you and I break one of those boundaries, we incur debt against him. All right, and so every time I lie, every time I cheat, every time I have a sexual fantasy about somebody that's not my wife, every time I manipulate data in a meeting to make things look better than they are, whenever I do those bad things, I incur spiritual debt. And some of you are going, Pastor Man said that? He does those things? Well, yeah, we all incur spiritual debt, all right? Every single one of us in different ways. Every time I do something God doesn't want me to do, I incur a spiritual debt. Every single time. The amazing thing is, Jesus paid that debt for me. All right, that's why it's called the gospel. It's called the good news. Jesus went to the cross, spread out his arms. All my rebelliousness, all my debt went on the back of Jesus as he was on the cross. All of Jesus' ledger, everything in his ledger book, all of his goodness, all of his grace, all of his righteousness gets transferred onto my back. And it's an amazing transaction. And when you've had that happen to you, you can't help but be a great forgiver. In fact, let me give you a story this morning of somebody from this community, a guy by the name of Nick, and I would venture to say he's probably a level three forgiver. Take a look at his story here.
So when I was 13 years old, I started using drugs. I think it was more of a popularity thing at that point in time, but it soon escalated, and there were some things in my past as far as I was sexually abused as a child, and I think a lot of that, a lot of my drug use stemmed towards that, trying to cover that up, bury it. As I got older in my teenage years, started doing harder drugs, hanging out with different people, and it just escalated all through my 20s, into my almost 30s. The most life-devastating thing, as far as drugs go, was when I started doing heroin. There came a point where my mom and my wife, Jessica, both sat down, and they told me that if I didn't get my life together, that my mom was gonna buy a house for Jessica, put her up in a house, they were gonna get a restraining order, it's gonna get a divorce, and a big thing was my wife told me that she'd find another man to raise my son at the time. But to hear that from someone I'd been with for, 11 years now, 9 years then, and then, for my mother to back her up on it too, that was a good swift kick in the behind to get me moving in the right direction. I was there for almost a year, and they taught you so much, not just about getting clean off drugs, but just so much about yourself and where the underlying problems were, because drugs are just a surface problem. A lot of people don't realize that. They think drugs is just a problem. They think drugs, addiction is a disease. A lot of people probably disagree with me, but I don't think addiction is a disease. Cancer is a disease. Addiction is something that is totally controllable by the person themselves. So going through this program, you learn a lot about forgiveness. You learn a lot about confession. And one of the biggest things in that program for me in confession was something I did. I had robbed somebody and pretty much did a home invasion to pay off people I owed money to. And I knew I could get through the whole program and and get out of the program. But if I didn't confess this one thing, what was the point in going through the program? So I did, and I was taken down the city county building, had to tell them what I had done. And that night was the first time in my life that I ever trusted God in anything. And so I was interrogated, and they looked through Marion County database, FBI database, and nothing was ever reported on it. And it's not so much that they let me go. It was that for the first time I actually leaned on God and not my own understanding. Forgiveness for me, first of all, from the Lord, that's the biggest, you know, that's understanding it, understanding his grace and knowing that I'm not deserving of it, but he gives it to me anyway. Forgiveness from my family members. I mean, that's all the horrible things I did in my past to each and every one of my family members, and for them to forgive me is just phenomenal to me. I don't deserve it, but you know, through Christ and through my walk, you know, they've given it to me. Especially my mom. You know, when I was in the program, I had to write her a forgiveness letter, and you know, you think that you're going to get forgiveness right off the bat after writing a forgiveness letter, but you know, she sent me a 10-page type letter telling me, you know, how horrible person I've been, and you know, that she at that time was not going to give me forgiveness, and you know, later on she'd come out to camp, and you know, we sat down by a lake and talked, and she did forgive me, and you know, I just thank God that, you know, he's put me in a spot now where, you know, people have forgiven me, and you know, I can just, you know, I can move on and live life the way it's supposed to be lived. Well, we had our baby, Jade, back in September, and it's been just so, I guess, heartwarming, I could say, because, you know, when we had Lucas, I was still in full-blown addiction, and, you know, I just wasn't there for at least the first year of his life, maybe a little longer, and to be there for him now and also see my daughter born, and be able to enjoy all the firsts and all the moments with her, and you know, seeing my wife with her, seeing my wife happy that I'm working, coming home, just spending time with the kids, not running off saying, oh, I need to do this, I need to do this, just being there and enjoying all the little things.
Wow. How about that? What level forgiver do you think Nick is? Tell you what, I mean, he and I talked about this a little bit the other night. He's like, man, I don't know if I'm level three. He's like, I struggle. I tell you, somebody who's been through addiction, somebody who's been through, you know, things that fuel the addiction, the lies, the thievery, all that kinds of stuff. I tell you what, when somebody like that comes to a place of saying, I got to get to a new place, and they make amends, they have no problem forgiving somebody who steals their lunch. No problem. So, you know, when you come to Christ, if you ever, or, you know, if you ever come to Christ, if you've not taken that step, I hope you can get to the place of seeing just how good he is, how generous he is, how incredibly generous he is, because there are things that maybe you've done that you're not going to have to pay for eternally. Now, there may be certain things in the justice system here today that we still have to face, but eternally, you're not going to have to pay for that debt. It's amazing. Amazing. So this guy in the story, it gets forgiven of 10,000 talents. And take a look at what happens next in his life. It says, but when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went to put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you of all that debt because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered to him to the jailers until he should pay all of his debt. And so also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. It's like, ooh, the master was willing to forgive him. He's like, done. 10,000 talents. You can't pay that. You know, okay, you're forgiven. Wipes it clean. And he's like, whoa, wait a second. You mean you there's a guy that owed you 100 denarii and you couldn't forgive him of that? He's like, what is this? He's like, dude, your run is done. I forgave you immensely. You are done. Send him to jail. He withdraws his forgiveness. He withdraws his blessing. See, we see something here that doesn't make sense. We see this all the time in life, right? See, you can either live in Jesus' economy, which has a bright future, or you can live in the world's economy, where the future isn't as bright. See, in Jesus' economy, in Christ's economy, his economy is this. You owe something, he says, I pay. You owe, I pay. That's what forgiveness is. That's what grace is from Jesus. Now, in the world's economy, world's like, that's stupid. That doesn't make sense. World says, guess what? You owe, you pay. You owe, you pay. Now, see, most of us, we want to operate in one of these two economies consistently. And if you want to do that, man, that's awesome. All right, that's awesome. See, the problem is, if we want to operate in Jesus' economy where it's you owe and I pay, we're like, man, thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for being so forgiving and graceful with me. Or if we want to live in the world's economy and we're like, hey, I want to hold everybody accountable. You owe something. You're going to pay it. I'm going to bring judgment to people. All right, if you want to stay in one of these two camps, awesome. The problem is when we receive the grace that Jesus has given us, man, I owed so much, and Jesus, you paid the price for it. And then we step over into the world economy and say, hey, I know I've received grace, but you owe, and you're going to pay. You're going to pay. See, this is where the problem comes in. Jesus goes overboard. I mean, he goes way overboard with the numbers right here. Way overboard. He talks about 10,000 talents, which is a lot of money. All right, they had a saying back in that day. They'd say, another day, another denarii. You know what that meant? That meant that a day's wages for a working laborer was a denarii. So another day, I earned another denarii. All right? And so this guy has been forgiven 10,000 talents, and yet he can't forgive 100 denarii. You know what the difference between those two numbers is? 6 billion x. He's like, dude, you were forgiven 6 billion times more, and yet you couldn't forgive this a fraction of what you've been forgiven of. Jesus says, there's nothing. I mean, the numbers are outrageous that Jesus uses. And what he's saying is there's nothing that you should not work on forgiving if you've been forgiven in Christ. And it doesn't mean it comes easy. It doesn't mean, as Nick said, it doesn't mean it happens instantaneously. Sometimes it takes time. It's just that if you want to have a path that is a bright future, you've got to be a level 3 forgiver. You've got to be a level 3 forgiver. You know, this has caused me to pray some of the craziest prayers, some of the strangest prayers I've ever prayed for my kids. I don't know if you ever do this. My kids, they can be awesome one moment, and then the next moment, they're like bickering with each other, like, well, she did this, and he did that, and I'm not playing with you anymore, and I hate you, and I hope I never see you. Anybody else have this experience, or you had that with your kids, you know, or with your brother or sister growing up? Yeah, I mean, it's like they're always bickering. Well, why are they always bickering? Because everything's always got to be fair. Well, they treated me this way, so I'm treating them that way. In fact, I was sitting with a friend just like 4 days ago. I had a meeting with her, and she kept getting texted by her daughter. And her daughter, it was about the time school was getting out, and her daughter was like, Mom, I'm locked out. Let me in. And she's like, well, that's weird. I just called her and told her I was going to be out, and she could let herself in. And you know, 30 seconds later, Mom, I'm still locked out. Let me in. She's like, this is crazy. I'm going to call my son. My son's home. And so she calls her son. You know, and I hear her say, hey, did you know that your sister's locked out of the house? Are you home? He's like, yeah. I can hear this, all right? It's not even on speakerphone. It's so funny. I can hear this. She's like, well, why don't you let her in? He's like, payback. Remember what she did last night? Payback. And she's like, you do not pay back your sister on a 10-degree day. Let her in the house. I'm dying. Because this is my house every single day. All right, I mean, it's always like tit for tat, this for that. In fact, Friday, the kids had a half day of school, so I worked at home part of the day, and they're fighting over nail polish. I mean, of all things, you know, I'm taking my nail polish, I'm not doing your nails, screaming, crying, you know, you're never going to use my stuff again. And so you know what I did? I called them over, and I said, hey, girls, I'm going to pray for you. They're like, pray for us. And of course, my younger one's like, oh, Daddy's going to pray for me. And she loved being prayed for, you know? So I call them over. I put my hand on their heads. And I said, hey, God, you know that M and M, all our kids are named by M by the first name. I won't tell you who they are. you know, these two M's are really not honoring you right now. And God, as their earthly father, I know as their heavenly father, you will continue to bring blessings into their lives. And I'm just going to ask right now that you would not do that anymore until they learn how to forgive. Amen. And I open my eyes. Before I even open my eyes, they're like, Dad, you know. And now that's a true story, all right? You can ask them, all right? You'll figure out which ones it is if you know who they are, all right? Because they'll be like, oh, yeah, you know. But why did I do that? Why did I do that? You know why? Because I know what Jesus said. I know what Jesus said. Jesus says, hey, my goodness, if you've been forgiven. And I told him, man, I've been living in this passage all week. And I said, girls, if you've been forgiven, God has bestowed amazing grace to you. And if you can't bestow that to somebody else, you know what he says? He says, man, I'm going to pull that away from you. And I want them to learn this at a young age instead of when they're 25 and God's rooting against them. Because they haven't learned this yet. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy that we don't connect how our resentment, our unforgiveness, our inability to let things go actually creates a sense of God, like bad things. Man, God starts rooting against us. I mean, he throws the dude in jail. He's like, your run's done. Forgive me. That debt's now back there. You're in jail. Putting you in jail. So he talks about this all the time. One of Jesus' most famous prayers, he says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our, what's the word right there? Debtors. He says, if we can't forgive our debtors, guess what? There's not going to be any forgiveness on your side of the spiritual ledger. If you've experienced the grace of Christ, you should be an awesome, awesome forgiver. And listen, when I hear this, I think, man, I want to be level 5. I want to be level 5 as much as I can, or level 3 as much as I can. I want to operate at level 3 as much as I can instead of having anger fantasies all the time. You know what anger fantasies are? You have anger fantasies? Anybody have anger fantasies? You know, where like maybe you got, you know, didn't get the promotion at work, and you're like, ah, and you see your boss go into, you know, the CEO's office, and you're like, oh man, I hope he gets right-sized while he's in there. You know, he has to go home and tell his family, you know, what a jerk manager he was. And, you know, that's an anger fantasy. Right? It's you fantasizing about something that you hope happens because you have a lot of resentment. You know, or maybe you see, you know, that neighbor walk by with their dog that's always pooping in your yard. You're like, oh man, I hope their pipes break and they come over and they need a warm place. I'm like, man, you're not coming to my house. You know, you have these anger fantasies, right? Anybody else do these? Yeah, I can tell by your laughter. And they're completely unproductive, maybe fun, all right? Very fun at times, but completely unproductive in showing God that we want to have a bright future. Because when we are unforgiving, it actually says, God, I don't want you involved in my life. I don't want you there. Jesus said, 77 times 7, that's how many times you forgive. What's he saying right there? The word he's using is the word amiphi, all right? Amiphi. Amiphi means to release it. Amiphi means regardless of what the other person says, whether really repentant or, you know, somewhat, they're incomplete in their repentance, or, man, they don't participate in it at all. He says, you release it. You let it go.
Let it go. Let it go.
You guys expecting like Frozen or something? I mean, come on. Do you not know us any better than that? Do you not know me? You think you're going to get a Frozen clip instead of Rambo? Oh, my word. Some of you are like, man, I'm going to go watch that this afternoon. That is awesome. You know, and if you do, be careful. All right, be careful. Because what do movies like that prey on? They prey on vengeance, right? I mean, they get us all stoked up to go and get vengeance on something. I'm not saying don't watch it. I'm just saying be careful. Be careful. See, we need to release it. We need to let it go. I think this is one of the reasons Nelson Mandela lived as long as he did. Nelson Mandela, fighter for, you know, against apartheid, lived in horrible, horrible living conditions. Most of his life, he was in jail. He had people, you know, he was at the point of bigotry, all kinds of terrible, terrible things. And yet, here's what he said about why he lived so long. He said, I walked out the door, that's the door to the prison, toward the gate that would lead to my freedom. I knew if I didn't leave my hatred and bitterness behind, I would still be in prison. Mike Tyson, man, talk about a dude that had amazing, amazing difficulty in his life. Saw an interview recently where he was asked if he, you know, holds resentment toward Don King, Don King was his promoter, his agent. Don King actually bilked him out of millions of dollars through the race card. I mean, just did some terrible things to him. And Mike Tyson's doing pretty good. I mean, he's got a show out in Vegas right now. Saw an interview on TV recently. And, man, he seems pretty coherent. I mean, amazingly well for everything he's been through over the years. And yet he said this about Don King. He said, "You can't have hatred. Hatred will hold you back. It'll hold you back." This is why Jesus says 77 times 7. And it's because he was a great forgiver. He's one of the most powerful, influential men, amazing men that the world has ever knew. And I think in part that's the case because he knew how to be a level 3 forgiver. I mean, think about it. He's up on the cross, right? He's up on the cross and he's got thieves next to him. And one of the thieves looks over at him and says, hey, Remember me today when you get to paradise. And Jesus, now the thief is up there for a reason, all right? I mean, the dude was an awful dude. He had awful things that he had done. And he says, hey, remember me. That's like level 2 right there, right? I mean, Jesus kind of like, oh, I don't know if that's even complete repentance right there. But what does Jesus do? The dude's not like, Jesus, man, I've done some awful things. And Jesus isn't getting all bent out of shape in an anger tizzy fit or anything, right? What's he do? He's like, hey, Today, you will be in paradise. The people below Jesus, he's hanging on the cross. People that have spit on him, people that have, hurled insults on him, people that have nailed him to the cross, people that have cut his side, people that have whipped him 39 times because 40 would have been too many. He looks at him and what does he say? He says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." I mean, nobody's going, oh man, Jesus, we're sorry, we shouldn't be doing this. There's none of that. This is level 3 right here. Jesus says, hey, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So in conclusion, let me give you 9 steps this morning. 9 steps so you can operate a level 3 forgiveness. You're like, 9 steps, holy cow, yes, 9 steps, right? Real quick. Number 1, remember the forgiveness I've been given. Number 2, choose to let it go. Number 3, pray for the offender. Jesus talks about praying for our enemies. He talks about, asking God to build into those who have hurt us. Pray for them. Ask for God's blessing on them. Number 4, remember the forgiveness I've been given. Number 5, choose to let it go. Number 6, pray for the offender. Getting the theme here? All right, so these are actually your next steps this morning, some of your next steps. On the back of your connection card are some next steps. Here's what I want you to do. If anybody's come to mind this morning, you've had an anger fantasy about, you've had resentment toward, I want you to look on here and say, okay, what's my next step in here? Wherever I am in that process, let me identify your next step. In fact, I've also put these in the app. And so if you go under Bright Future in the CrossPoint app, it will list these ways toward level 3 forgiveness so that you can take them home with you. Number 7, remember the forgiveness I've been given. Number 8, choose to let it go. Number 9, pray for the offender. And if those 9 steps don't get you free, if you don't start feeling the grace of God in incredible ways in your life toward that person, guess what you get to do? Start it all over again. All right? This is the process. And it's not like this is some magic pill, right? It's just that when we do this, the good things happen. We begin to see, man, this is good news. Jesus actually brought good news to us. And see, here's the cool things. This is for some of us, this is really simple. For some of us, you've heard the message today, and you're going to walk out those doors in a moment, and you're going to be like, done. Already started. I'm on the pathway. Man, you're going to let it go. You're remembering already, man, God has been so gracious to me. And you're going to begin to pray, and you're going to walk out of here light today. You're going to walk out in that snow and be like, man, I'm so light. I'm experiencing God's pleasure right now. Others of us, you're going to walk out of here and be like, man, that was a hard one for me today. And yet, you're going to work the process, and you're going to see that, man, there is a bright future when I move to becoming a level 3 forgiver. And so I want to pray for us right now. And I want to do a prayer. We're going to do a physical positioning prayer that we do periodically here at CrossPoint. And I want to kind of put it in the context of today. So let's go ahead and do that. Why don't you go ahead, and if you want to participate in this, just put your hands up like this. Just raise your hands to the air. You don't have to do that if you don't want to, but raise your hands if you want to participate. I mean, I love the arms, the sound of arms going up in surrender. That's what this is. This is a universal sign of surrender right here. Let me pray for us. God, this is our thing right here of surrender. Those of us who are doing this, this is our way of saying, God, we want to surrender our ways of forgiveness.
We want to surrender our ways to your mercy. God, we want to surrender whatever it is in our life, whatever postures we may be putting up in our life, to hold grudges, to harbor anger. And we just want to be totally surrendered to you right now. Next time you ask you to just drop your hands and put them in your lap. Just let them lay on your lap. Open palms up. This is the universal position of receiving. Hands open, ready to receive. Some of us, we may want to receive Christ right now for the very first time. You may want to say some statement to the tune of, Jesus, I want to ask you into my life. Jesus, I want your economy in my life right now. I want to know your grace. God, I want you to forgive me. Please forgive me. I want to know your forgiveness. Fill me with your spirit. Jesus, I just commit my life to you right now. Some of us may need to confess something right now. We may need to share something with you we've never confessed before, something that we know is a debt between you and me. And we just want to receive forgiveness right here, right now. So we ask. God, may we receive. Next, I want you to turn your hands upside down, hands open, palms open. This is let it go. We're actually taking our fingers right now, God, and we're opening and closing them, and we're dropping the need to get revenge. We're letting it go. We're dropping the need to sully somebody's reputation. We're dropping the need to get even right now, God. And that doesn't mean that if, you know, somebody's stolen or extorted something, there isn't a justice system. It just means, God, that between you and me, God, I'm saying, God, I don't want to let this go because I don't have to pay for this eternally anymore. God, I just hear bitterness drop into the floor right now. I hear an attitude toward a doctor dropping to the floor. I hear an attitude toward an ex-spouse dropping to the floor. An ex-employer. All those old trolls of ex-people in our lives that have hurt us, God, right now, those ugly thoughts, those ugly prayers we've prayed, God, we're letting them go. We're saying, I'm moving on. God, man, you are well pleased right now, God, because we're modeling what you have showed us. God, I just pray right now, my prayer for us this morning is that we would stay at level 3 all week long, all life long. We're gonna sing as we close this morning because there's some things that have just happened in this last moment. And we're going to sing a song. It's kind of a prayer that reminds us of, man, when we operate at this level of forgiveness, this is one of the postures and one of the things that punctuates who God is for us. So let's stand and let's sing this together.